On today's episode of Locked On Nets, Josh and Marcus are back to talk some actual news. They talk about the Nets coaching search, the MJ documentary, a bit of draft, and most importantly, the 2K tournament coming up on Locked On Nets.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome into another edition of the Locked On Nets podcast, your home for daily Brooklyn Nets coverage. I am your host, Josh Bass. Joining me as always, my man, Marcus Barahal. Marcus, how are you doing amidst COVID? We finally have some Nets news to talk about rather than one of our kind of made up fantasy brackets.
Yeah, we don't have to kind of rack our brains right now. This is good. I missed, like, you sent me an actual, like, agenda, like a rundown. I haven't had that in a while. I'm doing good. Yeah, I'm doing good in the coronavirus times. Definitely, like, starting to get a little bit more adjusted to this, like, new life now, a few weeks into it. How are you doing?
I'm good. I think I was slowly going insane, but I've managed to right the ship, trying to at least go for a walk, and if it's nice out, and get a little bit of exercise. This might be negligent of us, but I did go for a social distance walk with some of my friends yesterday who live by me. So it was me and my roommate, and then two of our friends who also live together. So really, it was only like two people going together, basically, because if any of us already had COVID, they would have transmitted it to the other person. But we managed to stay, it's hard to stay 6 feet apart in the city, as I'm sure you know. But we were doing a good job of kind of staying 3 or 4 feet away and walking kind of on four quadrants.
Yeah, I feel like I have no clue of like the how far apart 6 feet is, like without seeing some kind of measurement or marker. I feel like height wise, I can tell pretty easily if someone's like 6 feet tall, but horizontally, I don't know.
It's tough. There was one point yesterday where we had stopped and we're arguing. Me and one of my friends was like, oh, that's 4 feet. And they were like, no, that's seven. So it's like you're basically debating like a 10-year-old kid, or maybe not 10-year-old kid, like an 8-year-old kid, and then Shaquille O'Neal. So it's just funny.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's a big difference height-wise. I feel like especially like people are like, oh, if they're like 5'11", they're like, oh, like being 6 feet is like such a big difference. It's 1 inch. Like, I don't know. This is much more important, I would say.
For sure. But glad to hear everyone is well. On the Nets side, you know, they had four people test positive for COVID. They announced that everyone is now healthy. So great to hear. It doesn't sound like anything was very much serious there, and very thankful that all of the people, not only the players, but everyone kind of associated with the team is now doing well, because especially kind of with NBA players in such close contact and all the staff involved with these teams that could have spread quite rapidly. So glad to hear that that is now eradicated, at least for now, on specifically just the Nets side as we deal with this global pandemic.
Yeah, and I mean, three of the four Nets that tested positive didn't have symptoms, which is a good thing in terms of their health, but could have been a bad thing in terms of them spreading it, because they wouldn't have known that they had it. I wasn't super worried that this would like affect the Nets a ton, just because like they're athletes, so they're in like tremendous shape and they have access to like so much medical attention that a lot of regular people don't. But at the same time, there was a recent Bachelor contestant, Colton, who played in the NFL, who also has coronavirus and has been kind of hit pretty hard. Like he was like getting winded just like going up a single flight of stairs, like seemed like he was in really bad shape. So obviously, it can affect anyone, like regardless of age, regardless of like previous health, that kind of thing. It's somewhat random in that respect. So good to hear that the Nets are recovered, because obviously it could have been bad, but thankfully it's not.
For sure. I think it's a really good point that, you know, it definitely can still affect people that are clearly in really good physical condition. So very lucky that there was nothing serious on the Nets side. Now, I mean, let's get down to more brass tacks. I think obviously everyone's focus in the country is kind of flattening the curve of COVID. But the Nets coaching search still goes on, albeit paused for a bit. You know, Brian Windhorst was on the Hoop Collective podcast earlier this week, and I think he said something that a lot of Nets fans and folks in the media took interest in, even though he clarified that he said, I don't want this to be aggregated or possibly, but basically saying, listen, what I'm hearing right now is that Durant and Kyrie would like the Nets to hire a blue chip coach. You know, he didn't specifically say anything about kind of their thoughts on Kenny Atkinson and his job. I think it's safe to say that they weren't the biggest fans of him or weren't specifically riding for him. But it looks like they do want a big name coach now. I think it's up to the Nets to kind of define what that is and for us to speculate on that. But I think one thing's for sure, it's clearly not going to be Jacques Vaughn, who's going to end his Nets tenure undefeated as head coach.
Yeah, a legend, arguably the greatest coach in Nets history, just if you're looking at win percentage only. So, yeah, I thought that that comment that Windhorst made was interesting because I feel like, I don't know, it's hard for me to picture like a blue chip coach. I'm assuming he just means like a big name, right?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, because like with Kenny, I feel like he did like pretty much all that the Nets asked of him in terms of like developing young guys, helping to turn the team around, that kind of thing. And we talked about this when the season was suspended and shortly before when he was fired, but like he didn't really get a chance to show what he could do in the playoffs. Like he only had that one playoff series last year, and obviously that was a completely different roster than the Nets had this year or that they will have next year. So he didn't really get that opportunity to show what he could be. And the desire for like a big name coach is kind of confusing to me because when Kyrie won his only NBA championship, it was with Ty Lue in his first year as head coach. So you could say like Ty Lue is a former player. He became a bigger name by winning that title, but at the time he hadn't won anything. Kevin Durant he won his championships under Steve Kerr. Kerr, by the time Durant joined the team, had become a big name. But when he joined the Warriors, he was definitely like someone who was like in the news to keep an eye on kind of thing, but he hadn't like done any coaching either. So I think, I don't know, there's so few like big name coaches that I would associate with like this open vacancy. Like it's really just Mark Jackson, who's a big name who hasn't won anything. There's Jeff Van Gundy, who's a big name who I think has been in the finals, but hasn't won a championship. There's not a ton of options, and it seems like this is just like pointing to one of those guys, probably Mark Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, it makes no sense. Like you look at coaches now. I think you gave some great examples, like Nick Nurse. Won the championship last year. Consider now one of the best coaches in the league and most innovative. No one knew who the hell he was before he took over for Dwayne Casey. Spoelstra was basically like thought of not as a laughing stock, but like, okay, yeah, this whatever, Riley's gonna put this guy in to coach LeBron, Wade, and Bosch, and he's gonna be running everything from the shadows, and he's come into his own as one of the best X's and O's coaches in the league and someone who's highly respected and obviously a champion as well. So it just, the entire thing is like the construct of it just really does not make a ton of sense to me when you look at it. Brad Stevens was the little engine that could at Butler. He comes to the Celtics and has widely become one of the most respected coaches. So, I mean, I get it. You don't want to hire someone that is a complete pushover when you're dealing with star players, but you want someone that's credible. And I think the reason that these guys like Mark Jackson, Tibbs, Jeff Van Gundy are big names is because we see them all the time on media and because they're in the coaching search every year, but they don't get a job. Maybe that's for a reason. And, you know, the big name, there's such a fallacy behind it. But really, you should be looking for someone that can obviously command the respect of players, but is a really top X's and O's guy. Because the Nets are not going to be – they can get a big-name coach who has the respect and kind of has a bravado to him. But the way that the roster is right now, they're not going to be the most well-constructed or talented team out there, especially with KD coming back from injury and who knows what he's going to look like. I think reasonable bet is that he's going to be kind of at least – an all-star, all-NBA level player, but not what he was before the injury. But the Nets aren't going to be the most talented team. You need a coach who is very capable with X's and O's and schematics that can get the most out of this group. Because if not, who's to say that they're not going to become another Philly, where when you look at their roster, it's stacked with Embiid, Simmons, Al Horford, Tobias Harris, Josh Richardson, but the whole is less than the sum of its parts.
Yeah, and the Nets have, especially under Kenny Atkinson, have been a team where the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. And, like, just thinking about, like, the past, like, 15 or so years, like, coaches that have won NBA championships, it is mostly those under-the-radar guys. And then there's the big-name coaches like Doc Rivers, Phil Jackson, Greg Popovich even, Rick Carlisle. Like, those are guys who I feel like all of them kind of command a respect that I think that, like, a newer big name coach, like, if you want to consider Ty Lue a big name, like, he was the kind of like a player's coach, really, whereas those other four guys that I mentioned are all like, they'll crack the whip on you, they'll pull Tim Duncan out of the game, they'll yell at Paul Pierce, like, they'll do whatever it takes, kind of. And I think that, I don't know that that would necessarily fly in today's NBA. Like, I think a lot of players don't really want to be coached that hard, especially like players at that superstar level. They just kind of want a guy who can manage all the egos and maybe draw up like a decent out of bounds play. But in terms of like actual coaching, I don't think that superstar players really want that. And I think that's where a guy like Ty Lue, who because of his like relationships, because he played in the league so recently, like he is very good at managing egos and that kind of thing, which to like maybe the counter of this, that is kind of what the Nets need in terms of their two superstars have a reputation of being kind of like volatile personalities in Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. So maybe that is what the team needs, and maybe they don't need a ton of like X's and O's stuff. And maybe like with the combined basketball intelligence of Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, like, and some of their role players, they have Joe Harris, Spencer Dinwiddie, are very smart players. Like, maybe they think that they can handle a lot of the on the court stuff, and like they just need someone to kind of keep everyone together and like, you know, maintain that. And maybe Kenny wasn't doing that. I don't know, but it just seems like, I don't know, I would want to take a chance on someone younger with more upside, like we talked about when we were like naming possible replacement candidates. And there's guys I think that could kind of bridge that gap between those two worlds and be a guy who could maybe be a former player who has better relationships with the players, but also has that kind of coaching experience. You know, we mentioned guys like Jerry Stackhouse. You mentioned Vince Carter, which I thought was interesting. There's just a lot of guys out there who can bring, I think, some of what Mark Jackson would bring on the positive end without bringing some of the baggage and the fact that we've like kind of seen what Mark Jackson can do, and we've heard his takes on TV for so many years, and I just don't think he's the best coach available right now.
Right. No, I think that's a great point. I think especially as the league has moved away from, like, I mean, they don't practice that much. So
yeah,
guys are more so like drill sergeants, like a Tibbs, like a Jeff Van Gundy. They're kind of dinosaurs in this league. It's like you're not going to take a traditional post-up center number one overall, you know? Like Jahlil Okafor.
Unless you're the Suns. You take Deandre Ayton.
Unless you're the Suns. Over Luka when your coach was also his national.
Yeah.
Rest in peace to Kokoshkov. That was, I guess, like, insensitive warning, but not a great one-year tenure for him in the NBA. No, I think your point's really well taken. I think Mark Jackson, I think why me and you are reticent about him is because not only, like, yes, he has the players side down and people like him, but he's not a blank slate on the kind of X's and O's side. I think he's a negative on that side. So that's why I'd rather go for someone who can connect with the players like, I don't know, VC, Stackhouse. I think obviously VC is a pie in the sky, but Stackhouse had a lot of success in the G League, and, you know, he just got to take over Vanderbilt.
Yeah, Sam Cassell, who I mentioned on that other podcast, the Clippers' system.
Like, Jackson's system is abjectly bad, I think. And I think he has a lot of bravado, but really doesn't seem to know the modern game super well. So, yes, he's, like, fun, and he has all these catchphrases on TV, but I just don't – there's no kind of, like, acumen there, where if you have a coach that is a really good kind of leader and bonder but is less of an X's and O's guy – but they defer to their assistants, I think that could be a really good combo. So similar to more of like an NFL system where it's like, I'm going to rally the guys up, but then my offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator are running the show. But I think where we're running into trouble is that we just don't believe in Mark Jackson and his ability to give up control and also in his acumen when he is making decisions.
Yeah, I think that assistant coaching point is a good one. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see like if, because a lot of times like teams will let the head coach kind of like pick his staff. But I wonder if they like bring in a guy like Mark Jackson, if Sean Marks or whoever would be like, okay, let me like people on the staff with you to kind of balance this out? Probably not, because a guy like Mark Jackson, I would assume, I don't know him, but I would assume he has like a pretty big ego at this point in his career, which is earned. But yeah, I would assume he wouldn't just like be like, yeah, give me this really smart assistant from some random place who is going to do a lot of the work that I want to do by taking this job.
And then they get mad because it's like, oh, I feel like it's similar to what everyone thought was going to be the situation with Vogel and Kit. Like, oh, you're savage. You're undermining me. It's just not a, I mean, I think one thing we've learned also is that you get into trouble when you don't let when the GM doesn't let like his coach pick his assistant. And that was the whole thing with the Knicks when they would like just throw Rambis in every like group. And it's like, get this guy out of here.
Yeah, it was him and Herb Williams who were just like on the coaching staff for like 15 years for no reason.
Yeah, wasn't Herb Williams interim for a while at some point?
He was. I always kind of liked him. Maybe the Nets should bring him in.
Big Herb guy. Big Herb. So yeah, I think we're kind of the opinion that maybe Lou's okay. The other big name coaches, probably not great. I would love for them to reconsider some of these assistants, but I think especially with a lot of the uncertainty in the NBA season, I would assume that the Nets are going to go for someone that's more established, and who even knows what interview processes are going to look like for assistants at this point, especially if the season runs like into the summer, maybe. So I think, unfortunately, it looks like it's going to be a big name coach. But, you know, there's still varying degrees in that from hires that would be, I think, relatively well-received to some that I would be like, oh, my God, this is going to be a disaster.
Yeah, we'll just have to wait and see. Hopefully we can get that news semi-soon, but obviously we need the NBA back first.
Yes, exactly. In the meantime, if you're looking for something to do, how about placing a bet on MyBookie? Sports, as we know, have come to a screeching halt with basketball benched and pitchers off the mound. But our friends at MyBookie aren't going to let it get you down. Stay sane and stay entertained with access to our favorite games like blackjack, roulette, slots, war, and more. It doesn't matter whether you're out on the front lines or quarantined at home. The fun doesn't have to come to an end with MyBookie. Video poker, not your thing, but you still need a fix. They've got you covered with a host of live casino dealers online. That's right. They have professional dealers at their tables, live on-site 24/7. You can trust the industry leaders in times like these. They're reliable, upright, and best of all, they pay fast when you win. Visit mybookie.ag and use promo code LOCKEDONNBA for 150% bonus on your first casino deposit. That's promo code LOCKEDONNBA to receive 150% cash bonus on your first deposit, and you can claim those extra funds all the way up to $750. Use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDONNBA. You spin, you win, you get paid. Marcus, there's other news, I think, broader NBA. Any thoughts on the MJ documentary? Are you excited for that? That's coming up. And also the NBA 2K tournament that the players are taking place in.
Yeah, I'll talk about the MJ doc first. Very excited for that. I'm glad that they moved it up. I was seeing on Twitter that that was like rumored to be happening. People were kind of pushing for it. LeBron brought it up in a video, which obviously goes a long way. And previous guest on this podcast, Matthew Drechsler, who works at the NBA, he said that he saw the first part of this early because he works there. And he said it's really, really good. And he learned a lot. And so very excited to see it premiering in just a couple weeks. So definitely looking forward to that. And then in terms of the 2K tournament, I have no clue what to expect from this. Kevin Durant is the one seed. I guess they're playing like one-on-one as themselves. Is that right?
I have no idea, Frank.
Yeah, I guess I'm assuming that they are like some kind of, I don't know, I guess just a one-on-one tournament. I'll probably at least like see on Twitter if people are like, this is cool or not before I tune in. I might watch some of that though. I think it's starting tonight, just like the first round. KD will be playing Derek Jones Jr. So star-studded matchup.
I bet Derek Jones is nasty.
Oh yeah, I mean, I'm sure he can dunk, but this is if it is one-on-one, which I guess I'm like purely speculating, but he doesn't strike me as like a one-on-one guy. If it was two-on-two and someone was throwing lobs to him, maybe if he was with his former teammate Devin Booker, the five seed in this tournament, maybe that would strike some fear into me. But I feel like the way that these seedings, bro, because they're based on 2K rating, which I know Ronnie 2K gets a lot of flack on Twitter for these ratings. I don't know if he's personally rating everyone, but some of the seedings are a little bit off, like Hassan Whiteside being seeded ahead of Donovan Mitchell, Devin Booker. I think that hurts KD if he's able to advance to the quarterfinals, because he'll have to play either Mitchell or Booker, presumably, instead of Whiteside or Trae Young, who are rated higher, but in my head are worse players. But maybe Trae Young is good at 2K because he's so young. I don't know.
Yeah, I think, well, so KD obviously gets the benefit of basically his old rating, because they're not going to penalize him for the injury, I'm assuming.
Yeah. That would be funny, though, if he like had a torn Achilles like in the game and had to play.
He's like limping around Derek Jones. it's like, okay, KD, we're rating you on based on where we think you are month 7 into recovery.
You're 58.
Yeah, 58. You're worse than Furkan Korkmaz.
Oh.
Yeah, he's actually good. But yeah, I mean, the Hassan Whiteside rating, I think, was always my problem with 2K, in that guys who are like very athletic and like in theory, like their only weakness is really just their basketball IQ and like not being good in a team setting, they always get rated so much higher.
Yeah, it's also like very, I'm assuming, just like stats based, like in terms of like non-context stats. So like Whiteside can put up like 15 and 12 and have like 3 blocks, but he didn't really like do anything. Whereas even a guy like Patrick Beverley, the 14 seed in this bracket, is probably like contributing to winning much more, even though he's maybe averaging, just off the top of my head, just a guess, like 6 points, like 2 rebounds or something. I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I don't know. I miss 2K. I used to be super into it, and then have gradually weaned myself off video games over the years, because I did not think it was a super productive habit. But in quarantine, I am really, really missing it.
Yeah, I am similar in that I like kind of stopped playing, but I'm assuming, unlike you, I actually like still have my PS4 and stuff. So I was I've been dabbling a little bit over COVID, which has been nice.
Good, it's good. Yeah, my roommate was like trying to get his little GameCube from home, and we're gonna rip some Mario, Super Smash. Did not come to fruition yet, but we still have plenty of time in this quarantine.
Yeah, yeah, unfortunately. Yeah. Are you excited for the MJ doc? Also, I didn't ask your take on that.
Yeah, thank you for finally asking. I'm excited for it. I think just any sort of new content, and obviously he's such a great figure, but also someone who's super interesting and polarizing in terms of his like on-court and off-court habits. So I'm very excited to see that. And then, you know, Drexler, I trust his opinion immensely. So now that he gives it the initial thumbs up, I think I'm even more jazzed for it.
Yeah, it gets the Drexler seal of approval. So always important.
Exactly. Marcus, any draft thoughts?
Still need to dig into it. We were talking a little bit before this. The Nets don't have their own pick, but they do have Philly's pick, which is actually like pretty close to where their own pick would have been. I guess this is all assuming that the regular season ends and the standings are kind of like locked in where they are. But yeah, the Sixers were the 6th seed in the East and the Nets were the 7th seed. So not a ton of like teams in between them. Just looking at the standings right now, just Memphis is the only team between them. So they basically have their own pick. They moved back like 2 spots or whatever from this. So
right.
Yeah, excited to see what they're able to do with this once the draft eventually happens.
Yeah, this is like, I don't want to place a ton of importance on a mid to late first round pick, but this is pretty important because especially, you know, there's been talk about maybe the Nets trying to package some of their really quality starter role player guys like a LeVert, Dinwiddie, Jared Allen to get a third star. They are going to be pretty desperate for depth if they do that. So I think being able to nail this pick would be super important. You know, you have a guy in DeAndre Jordan who they're not going to give up, but he's kind of slowing down and maybe has some injury concerns as well. So it's important to nail this pick, whoever it might be. And I'm looking at the draft, you know, I think this draft has kind of gotten the line, but there are some players that are around that pick that could be good. You know, a guy like Josh Green, the Australian who went to Arizona. He was supposed to kind of be top 10 going into this year and had some really good reviews at the Nike Hoop Summit in the past. He's kind of a 3-and-D wing, maybe doesn't have great feel for the game, but a ton of athletic tools. Shot 36% on 3 this year, on 3 attempts a game, even though His form might not be the cleanest. Or a guy like Jordan Nwora, who's super experienced and can really shoot the ball. Or maybe if they do trade Jared Allen, you want to go for a backup center to kind of complement DeAndre Jordan and give some insurance in case Nick Claxton doesn't kind of pan out the way I think most folks think he will, in terms of at least a very solid guy that can come off the bench. So the Nets do have options. They're going to have some various needs. I think a lot of it depends on if they do make a big trade. But this is an important pick for Sean Marks to get right, just because the Nets don't have a ton of draft capital in the coming years. So you want to make sure that the few at-bats you have, you're able to at least get on base.
Yeah, and that pick should be somewhere in like the 18 to 20 range because of like tiebreakers and whatnot. But like we talked about on the past Nets draft podcast earlier this week, the Nets have actually been pretty successful in this range. Like, they got Caris LeVert and Jared Allen roughly in this area. So Sean Marks is familiar with like trying to find these diamonds in the rough the last couple of years. So hopefully he's able to do that again and maybe find someone who either falls like Brandon Clark did last year, or maybe a guy like Caris LeVert who like would be ranked higher if not for like injury concerns kind of thing. That would be ideal.
Yeah, I can't believe Clark went 22nd. Think about it.
Yeah, I remember we were upset at the, like, in the moment.
He was a home run basically right away from summer league, like, into the season. Throughout the season, he didn't miss a beat.
Yeah, I mean, like, I know they were like higher on him than most people, but I think Jonathan Charks from The Ringer had Clark like second or third on his mock draft, which is too high. But he also had
third a few years ago.
Yeah,
which OG Anunoby was a good pick for where he was drafted, but you could definitely say like lottery or top 10, but not
right. Yeah. So we'll see, I guess, what the Nets are able to do with this. But yeah, it's a spot that they've been before, so hopefully that helps.
Yep, we'll be digging into the draft further in the coming weeks. I love the draft, Marcus. I know you have an affinity to it as well. So we'll be getting in the weeds a bit and seeing who the Nets could get with their pick. Does it make sense to maybe trade down? Does it make sense to maybe trade up, even with their limited capital? So we'll see what happens there, but very excited to dig into some of these prospects. That's going to do it for us today. Please rate and review the podcast. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We will be there. Stitcher, Spotify, Podbean, Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Twitter. I am at @JMBass_. Marcus is at @MarcusBearHall. The podcast is at @LockedOnNets. And until next time, be well.
Bye.